Thanks for tuning in to the David Martinez podcast. It is Saturday, November 22nd. I guess I've normally been doing these things every sort of other week. I guess I'm a few days early, but wife was out. You know, she's off seeing a concert, seeing the Reverend Horton Heat with a good friend of hers. So I was home alone, just to, you know, doing work, hanging out, watching. So I decided to myself, I could either sit here like a clod and just, you know, eat food that I shouldn't be eating and just watching just crap on Netflix because it happens to be something that's streaming rather than something I'm actually interested in. Or, you know, I could invest in something that's at least somewhat creative, somewhat inventive, and just, you know, somewhat gets me outside of just laying around, you know, with my pants unbuttoned and a bunch of bad food all over the coffee table, you know, like I'm a mess here. All right, podcast time. Let's just put some topics together and let's just get some stuff done here. So here we are. No reflections. You know, I guess in these past few ones, I've, you know, been kind of, you know, spent the first part of this thing thinking about what I did last time or how I could have done it better or whatever. And I don't know. I just don't really feel like that today. Not to say that I feel like I've gotten this thing down. Obviously not. A buddy of mine the other day, said like, oh yeah, I've been listening to it. Hey, good stuff. But, you know, I got some critiques and some creative, you know, some constructive criticism that I might throw your way based on some things that I've heard from other people saying about their podcast. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Got it. No problem. You know, pride's not injured here. Obviously I've got a lot to learn. You know, I'm obviously not a trained professional here. I'm just some guy who threw a mic in his face and said, let's give this thing a shot. So totally open. But I just don't have anything really to think about as far as, you know, what I did last time. And I'm not really processing that right now. I'm just talking here. So moving on to the events of this this past week. Shingles happened to me. Yeah, I got it. I got those things. Those things that are called shingles, that's what I got. I got them inside me. Yeah, starting last Wednesday, not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before that, I started getting sort of headaches and some soreness in my body and, you know, flu-like symptoms. And, at first I kept thinking it was just a flu. It's just a flu. Get over it. You'll be fine. Just, you know, power through it. Get some rest. And then, like, the symptoms started getting weirder. Like I would step kind of hard and my back would start killing me and I started getting this weird rash on my body. I thought, you know what, let me just go ahead and see the doc about this. For those of you who know what shingles is, you know, it's kind of a hassle. It's kind of a pain. It sucks. It's not fun. It lasts. I've heard it lasts for like, you know, months, but you know, typically I guess it lasts for weeks. For those of you who don't know what shingles is, you know what, look it up. It's 2013. I'd be surprised if anybody listening to this doesn't have a smartphone in their pocket, you know, an Android or an iPhone or something. In this day and age, you have no excuse for not knowing anything. There is nothing you shouldn't know right now. When somebody is talking about some disease, you have no idea what it is. You don't have to ask. Excuse yourself for a minute. Go to the bathroom. Look it up. Okay. It's right there in your pocket. You have no excuse. If somebody references a food or a restaurant or a movie or an actor or, you know, a particular scientific term or anything you see maybe you caught in some comic or somebody referenced in a movie or, you know, you heard in a song somewhere, somebody was, you know, mentioning in casual conversation. You know what? You don't have to be that guy. You don't have to be the person who doesn't know anything anymore. It's right in your pocket, right at your fingertips. You have no excuse for not knowing anything. So I'm not going to tell you what shingles is. If you don't know what shingles is, you just need to look it up. You're listening to this thing probably on a computer or on some kind of smart device. Just look it up. It's right there. No big deal. All right. Enough of that. Moving on. So I go to the doc on Saturday, you know, wait in line, typical, you know, somewhat depressing hospital situation. Go there and I explain to the doc, yeah, I got this and I got that. I got these things and this thing. He's like, yeah, lift up your shirt. Lift up my shirt without skipping a beat. Oh yeah, shingles. What? Are you kidding me? Doc was, you know, a bit of an older guy. I said, listen, Doc, with all due respect, no offense here, but I thought shingles really only happened to older people. I mean, seriously. He goes, no, it can happen to younger people. It's just sort of one of these things that happens. I said, wow. Okay. So, you know, so now what? So, you know, he starts writing on his little piece of paper and starts, you know, filling some stuff out. And he said, all right, well, you're going to have to take these antivirals for some while and some, here's what I recommend for some pain medication to help manage the pain. And then, you know, be on this for 10 days and blah, blah, blah. So he gives me his little piece of paper, all the information of what I had. little tidbit about shingles there. It's apparently in the herpes family of sort of viral diseases. So on my little diagnosis thing, it says herpes such and such. And I kind of smirked a little bit and looked up at the doctor and said, you know, hey, doc, I got to take this home to my wife. You mind taking the word herpes off of my diagnosis? And the doc was evidently one of these people who just didn't have a sense of humor, because you could just see the joke just kind of hit him in the face like a gust of wind and just keep on going. And he kind of just looks at me kind of blankly and goes, well, I know you're joking, but, you know, it's not like herpes. It's just another, okay, doc, I got it. You ever run into those people who it just seems like, I don't know, either they're from like another planet or maybe they got their sense of humor surgically removed as a kid, you know, like they were young, little George Lee, you know, he falls ill. The parents take him to the doctor. Doctor comes out and says, Mr. and Mrs. Lee, yes, what's going on with little George? Well, we found the source of the problem. Apparently, he's got a carcinoma in his sense of humor. Oh my God, Doc, what do we do about this? Well, we're going to have to remove his sense of humor, and he's going to have to grow up without one. Lord, no! What will this mean? Well, he's going to live. But by God, it's not going to be much of a life. You know, that's kind of what I imagine the scenario must be like, because it's really like there's something just kind of missing there with this person. You know, are you from Mars? Like, does nothing strike you this way? Even if you don't think it was funny, like, you can't even... It was a joke. Just play along or give a courtesy laugh. Just do what humans do and just move on. Don't feel like you have to explain. Well, I know you're kidding, but, you know, it's just... Okay, Bill Nye, I got it. We're done. Moving on. So, anyhow, that was that guy. So I've been dealing with that this week, the whole shingles thing. Not a big deal, you know, because this past week was getting better and better, and wife's been on my case about the pills, which is good. That's what wives are for, to keep husbands from killing themselves by not doing the things they should be doing with themselves. So, you know, I'm just sort of getting over that. On the subject of my health, and not saying this was a contributing factor, but, you know, I'm not saying it either. Public toilets. We all know them, of course. We all use them. They're out there. I was at a theater and had an experience with a public toilet recently. I feel like we all have some kind of routine when it comes to public toilets. You know, I doubt anybody listening, all six of you, you know, just walk into a toilet, you know, in a public place, whether it's a theater or a restaurant or a gas station or wherever it happens to be, just walk in, open the door, close it, pull your pants down and just sit right on it. You know, I doubt that actually happened. It's not like your house where you or a friend's house or something where you have that kind of level of comfort with it. This is, you know, alien territory. Who knows what monstrosities have happened on this thing? So I feel like everybody has some kind of routine, even if it's just giving it a quick look. You know, make sure there's nothing particularly, you know, awful about it. Throwing the quick little sani seat, you know, piece of butcher paper that they put on these things, and then just doing your business and getting out of there and getting on with your life. Even if it's just that. You know, I feel like we all have to have some kind of routine. So my routine, I'm going to share with you guys. Again, this is in keeping with helpful tips for healthy living, which is obviously one of the, clearly one of the themes of this podcast. I will go, you know, I'll check the seat out, look for damage, look for obvious signs of damage. And whether I see damage or not, I'll go to the, you know, sink, pull a couple pieces of paper, water, wet the whole thing down. And I mean the whole seat, all the inside, even that front little area, you know, especially in the public toilets where it's just kind of open. You know how like on regular toilet seats like you have at your house, the seat, the ring is complete. You know, it's just a complete, you know, sort of oval. But then like public toilets, it's like a horseshoe almost. Why do they have that little horseshoe, that little space that's missing? Is that like, is that to save material? Or is it like, you know, if you're a guy and you don't feel like lifting the seat, you know, and you want to just kind of thread the, you know, like you're playing Operation to see if I can make it through the, just through that little opening and just, you know, without damaging the rest of the seat. I don't know what that's for, but there's, it's on almost every public toilet, except really old ones. They always have that horseshoe shape instead of the normal, what makes me feel comfortable and at home, sort of oval shape. So whatever. Anyhow, so, you know, I water it all down. I go back to the sink. I grab a few more pieces of paper. I dry it all off. Then I put the sanitary thing on top. Then I do my business. Then I get on with my life. That's my routine. Some of you are probably thinking, well, that's kind of wasteful and excessive. You know, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with me is I don't want doctors to find new forms of hepatitis in my body. That's what's wrong with me. You know, Lord knows we only have so many letters of the alphabet. There's only 26 of them. I don't know what hepatitis we're up to. Maybe it's Q or R or W. I don't know. But I don't need to contribute to that number. I don't need to you know, have doctors say, you know what, Mr. Martinez, we found yet another strain of hepatitis in your body. Do you sit on a lot of public toilets without cleaning it? Well, yes, doctor, I do. Well, then that's your problem. So we're going to have to go with like hepatitis O with the line through it, or hepatitis U with the umlaut. Oh, we're all out of those? Okay, I guess we're just, I don't know, maybe hepatitis and then some Hebrew character. I don't know. We are that desperate. We have completely, we are running out of symbols to use for strains of hepatitis that we are discovering due to people using public toilets. It's a crisis. Somebody please do something about this. So, you know, I don't want to be that guy. I get paranoid about it, but I feel like it's one of those good paranoias, because it's that kind of paranoia where, if you're not paranoid just once in that right specific circumstance, it could be a disaster. And I don't even want to go into it, but it could be a disaster. So, you know, this is my routine. This is what I do. Anyhow, the other thing about the public toilet is, the thing about public toilets is, you go in, you know, whatever your routine is, you finish it up and you sit down. When you sit down and it's still warm, from the person who left previously. Normally, that kind of human warmth is a comfort to people. You know, when your blankets are still warm because, you know, your spouse, your loved one or whoever, or your child is, you know, sort of cuddled up in there, or, you know, when a jacket or a pillow or something is still warm and still smells like the person who was there previously. In most cases, when you feel residual human warmth, it's a good thing. It's a positive thing. It's something that brings comfort to the body and to the soul. The toilet is probably one of the, if not maybe the only place where it's one of the most frightening and eerie and just awful things. Oh, no. I mean, we all know that other people use these things. You know, walking in, that you are far from the first person who's ever christened this bad boy. This is not the toilet's first rodeo, obviously, by far, by a long shot, not even close. But when you sit down and it's cold, at least you're disconnected enough from the last 1,000 people who used it that you don't have to think about it for a minute while you go about, you know, whatever, your stuff. But then when you sit down and there's warmth, it's all too clear now. There was a bare naked behind all over this thing that you're putting your bare naked behind all over. And it's just this uncomfortable feeling, because now there's this constant reminder while you're sitting there the whole time that this toilet has been places you don't want to know about, places you haven't even seen in your worst nightmares. And you can't get finished fast enough to just even just emotionally and spiritually, just get that feeling and that filth off of your body. You just can't do it quick enough as soon as that happens. So that's the other thing about the public toilet. You know, I'm not saying that using public toilets caused me to get shingles, but I am saying in such a strange world, who knows? Who knows how this happened? I feel like most people don't know how shingles happens anyways. You know, when I ask most people about it, they either give me some vague allusion to something about chicken pox, like either you had it when you were young and didn't get immunized, or you got immunized but then didn't get it, and so you could still get some other kind of herpes thing later, or some people say it's because you weren't taking care of yourself, you're stressed, or you weren't sleeping enough, or whatever. I don't know. Either way, public toilets might have been a factor there. I'll let you guys sit on that one for a while. All right, so finally, I saw somebody online having this conversation about all these things all these specific points that go into making an ideal mate for them later on in life and whatever. And I don't know. I always get a little, edgy or touchy about that sort of thing when people, start sharing with me. You know, people are like going through the whole dating routine and they're doing this and they're seeing this person and that person. And, inevitably, whoever it is doesn't match up with this elaborate and long list of criteria that they sort of either sometimes some people really formally or some people just kind of vaguely in their minds sort of keep as far as what they're looking for and exactly what they need. It's usually very focused and very driven sort of people who kind of have really specific lists in mind because, they got a direction that they're sort of moving in life. And, they're sort of running along in this particular direction, whatever it happens to be. And they just kind of expect, I guess, that some person is going to come alongside of them who just so happens to be running in the exact same direction at the exact same pace. And it's just going to, hey, you're with me on this? Yeah, sure. Let's do this together. Just go along. Most of the time, and this was certainly true in my life, you find yourself on a certain trajectory in life, and then somebody comes along and that trajectory just changes. It just does. And in my case, it was certainly for the better. And I'm not saying having a checklist or having an idea of what, having maybe some specific ideas as far as what you're looking for in a person isn't sort of good. I'm not saying like, just go with your heart, just if you find that person, look, just marry them, just like right then and there. Cause all that really matters at the end of the day is just love. No, of course not. That's ridiculous. Everybody has some, even if it's just a really basic criteria, if you find out most people, if somebody finds out that they're, a heroin addict or an axe murderer who knows what, you have some basic standards, some places that you just won't go, everybody has one. There's the sort of basic foundational ones. Then there's some more specific ones. You want to have a mate that where you and, you and this person share the same faith. Maybe you guys share very similar ideas about life and, where you see yourselves in, 20, 30 years. It's either similar or at least compatible ideas, compatible or similar ideas as far as how you intend to, or if you intend to raise children and how you intend to raise them, if you do decide to, those sort of things. And then there's some of these other sort of, items that you sort of check off, like, maybe I'd like, I would probably prefer, certainly prefer somebody who's maybe a little more educated, like myself. I'm a smart person. I value intelligent conversation, clearly. Maybe you're somebody who's a little more athletic. So you prefer somebody who's a bit more along those lines, who goes on your jogs with you and goes bike riding and likes to go on a little adventure, whatever it is. Those are those are the big important things. There's the slightly less important things. And then I feel like anything after that, you're looking for a doll or an object more than you're looking for a person. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, being in a relationship, especially being in a marriage, ends up being a lot more about, finding somebody I can pour my love into rather than somebody who meets this, increasingly elaborate series of things that I sort of need and sort of want in life. I feel like the more specific and the more exacting your little checklist is, the more you're just objectifying whoever it is you're going to find. And honestly, the harder it is, you're going to make it on yourself because you're going to pass up a whole lot of people probably who would have been very good for you, but for they didn't have this, and maybe they didn't do that, and maybe they weren't quite as ambitious as I wanted them to be, or maybe, they did this a little too much, and I wasn't quite sure about that, or maybe they weren't quite as athletic, whatever it is, you're going to pass by a lot of people who are probably good for you, and I've said this before to other people as well as to my wife, so it's not a secret or anything, but, my wife, and she kind of, sort of echoes a similar statement. she is not at all what I had in mind when I was thinking about, you know, early on, the kind of person I wanted to marry or sort of be with for the rest of my life. Clearly, whatever God had in mind was a hell of a lot better than what I had in mind, because I did very well. I look back at some of these other people that I, you know, sort of dated or whatever in the past that were more in keeping with what I, you know, was sort of looking for at the time. And I look back and think, that would have been a disaster. That would have been a mess. She is everything that I didn't know I needed in a person. And had I been so strict and so exacting in finding somebody who met all these little sort of things before I really, you know, was able to kind of, you know, let that person in, I would have completely missed out on the best person I've ever met in my entire life. I really would have. And so, you know, when the more you make it about your little list and all your little things that you need to check off, you know, the more you're just going to miss out on some really, really wonderful people, you know, that might be out there for you. And, you know, and lastly, it's kind of, there's kind of a subtle arrogance to it, not an overt arrogance perhaps, but kind of a subtle one. You know, in a sense, you're kind of saying, when I find this person who meets all this, you know, large bit of criteria that I have, clearly I'm such a catch and I'm so ideal in so many ways that I'm obviously going to meet whatever checklist they have. Even if it is as elaborate as mine, our checklists are just going to match up and just going to meet it perfectly because I'm just that person. I know, you know, you people don't consciously think that, but that's kind of subconscious. You don't really think about the fact that if they're as exacting as you are, you probably won't meet their, you know, even if you find that magical person, you're probably not going to meet their little checklist either. You know, or, you know, hopefully maybe they aren't as exacting as you are. And maybe you could learn from that. Maybe you could learn from that person. And I guess part of me gets a little, I don't know, gets a little whatever about that, because I guess I'm sort of grateful that, I'm not sure how this is going to come off, so you guys are going to have to bear with me here for a sec. I'm sort of grateful in a way that maybe my wife wasn't so hugely specific about what she was looking for in a man. And I say that, I mean, obviously there were some things that she wanted, and thankfully I managed to sort of cut the mustard and at least some of these, you know, sort of deal breaker things that she kind of had in her mind. But, you know, I look at me, I look at my life, you know, I'm not rich. I'm not pretty. I'm just some guy. At best I can, you know, I can talk to some people. We can have a good time. I can maybe make some people laugh. You know, maybe I can be a good friend to some people. I feel like I haven't always been that way. I look at my little resume as far as, you know, a life mate, and, you know, so I don't think I'd make a lot of people's lists. I don't think I'd make a lot of people's lists, but I'm really glad that, that however specific it was or it wasn't, that I made my wife's list. And so, you know, I that's why I guess when I see people who they're, you know, way too exacting or specific about that sort of stuff, I guess part of me just goes like, man, thank God my wife wasn't like that. Thank God. Because who knows what I'd be doing right now. Probably podcasting. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for tuning in. I'm going to echo my invitation to, you know, some of my friends to, you know, join me on the show one of these days. We'll pick a topic or two, talk a bit about it, and sort of go from there. All right. Well, I hope you guys are doing well. Have a wonderful and happy and safe Thanksgiving. Bye now.